with House Bill 1253. House Bill 1269, the prime sponsor is in another committee pitching that, so we'll move that to the third bill handling. With that, I will open up the discussion on House Bill 1253, and I will remind the committee that Mr. Terry Jacobson and Mike Forrester gave their testimony last Tuesday on this bill in support of this bill. With that, Representative Bogalka, is my understanding you have an amendment to this bill?
That's correct, sir. Have amendment to 1253, and I would move that we... is that in order?
Yes.
We accept that amendment?
You can offer
the amendment. I would like to offer that amendment at this time, and I see it is being passed out, passed around. Representative Tim Bogalka from Clear Lake. 1253 deals with the buyback law, and don't be intimidated by the size of this bill. It's rather long just because the buyback bill is long. And basically what this is a agreement to protect dealers, implement dealers and manufacturers from each other in the event that the contract for a franchise for implements is canceled for any reason. If the implement goes out of business, goes broke, retires, or if either party chooses to end the contract. As you said, two gentlemen traveled all the way here from Brookings and Britain on Tuesday to testify in favor of this bill. And the amendment, of course, must be considered. This amendment is basically a compromise between the dealers and the manufacturers. Originally, it had said the bill had changed the buyback rate to 100% for parts, and that has been negotiated down to 95%. A couple other things. This doesn't just help the dealer. It helps the manufacturer as well, because there's parts in here dealing with things such as signs, special tools, and special software that the dealer has, and this requires him to get those back to the manufacturer since he will no longer be needing them if his contract is ended. I believe at this time I will turn it over to Brett Kennecke. He's a lobbyist for the farm implement dealers, and in addition to that, he's also a fellow native of Clear Lake and a Sure-Tail cousin of mine. So,
excuse me. We won't hold that against him.
Good.
Representative Bogalka, you made a statement that one of the two gentlemen was from Brookings. We have it on the minutes. They're both from Britain.
No, the first one, Jacobson, is from Brookings. Isn't that correct?
Then we need a correction on the minutes. So that's Terry Jacobson, is that right?
From Beckman Implement in Brookings.
Okay, correct. Motion moved to correct the minutes. I have a second by Peterson. Any discussion? All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we'll get that part right.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brett Kennecke. I'm a lawyer from Pierre and registered lobbyist for the Farm Equipment Association of Minnesota and South Dakota. The two states combined their associations well back in the 60s, and so that's the reason for the name. I guess I should say I've brought people in to testify on bills before and thought they were nervous, but never so nervous that they'd forget where they were from. So I apologize for the need to change the minutes. Appreciate your indulgence. 1253 is brought by the Dealers Association primarily to amend what we call the buyback laws. They're in current law at SDCL 37-5, and they are a relatively common provision of laws in states around the country. One comment was made to me while working on the bill that these were pretty unique, and the answer is no. Buyback laws are found in the laws of about 44, 45 states. So they are a fairly common provision of state law. And our laws have been in effect since starting about the late 60s. They require a manufacturer to buy back from a dealer whole machines and parts if the contract is discontinued or terminated by either party. There are many, as many different buyback laws as there are states, and we bring this bill to bring our laws more in line with other states. There's no model law, there's no standard but we believe we're achieving a little bit more harmony with this bill. The bill is long and the language is difficult. As Representative Begalka said, we do have a compromise agreement with the manufacturers. We're very pleased about that and thankful that we were able to do that. And the most difficulty we had in getting together was getting through the difficult language of the bill. But speaking to the amendment, I'll boil that down for you. The bill and the amendment both add outdoor power equipment to the list of products and machines that are found in the law. Outdoor power equipment we consider to be lawn and garden implements and commercial turf equipment, things of that sort. While outdoor power equipment might beg to be defined in law, we would say that the law as it's written doesn't define things like industrial and construction equipment. And as both if you will, parties to the law are in agreement as to the general term, we would ask that it be adopted as outdoor power equipment rather than defined out. Some states go so far as to define tillers, but not string trimmers and those sorts of things. I guess we wouldn't want to see the law further cluttered, but would leave that to your discretion if you found it necessary. The bill raises buyback rates for parts from 85% to 95%. Whole machines remain at 100%, but the parts would go from 85 to 95, and the dealer would be able to get 5% more for the packing up and loading of the parts on a truck back to the manufacturer. The bill as originally drafted called for just a flat 100%. We can still get the 100%. However, the manufacturers have told us if somebody walks away from the parts, we don't want to have to pay them 5% for that, and we're completely fine with that. The bill creates buyback obligations for both the dealer and the manufacturer regarding computer hardware, software, signs, business signs, and specialized diagnostic and repair tools that a manufacturer has required the dealer to purchase and use. The gentlemen that were here on Tuesday would have, had they had time, informed you that they've both bought computer systems at the requirement of the manufacturer in excess of $50,000 in the last 2 years. And if their contract is canceled without this law, they're out that money. And those computers are essentially worthless to them. However, they might very well have some worth to the manufacturer. And the manufacturers have recognized that, we believe. These signs, as in the amendment, I'll direct you to sub 2 at the bottom of the front page. Signs that have the current logo constituting the principal outdoor signage, the dealer has to sell that back to the manufacturer, and the dealer can get 15% or his cost less 15% per year depreciation, no case less than 20% of the original net cost to the dealer. The reason for that is we're required to buy signs at tremendous expense, and we think that's fine. And from the manufacturer's perspective, they wish to buy those back so they don't get in the hands of shade tree mechanics, if you will, who might attempt to advertise their services as being authorized by the manufacturer. By way of example, I know of a small shop in a town near here that has a sign out front that says Kiekhoffer Mercury Outboard Motors Sales and Service. Well, Kiekhoffer was dropped off of that sometime in the early 60s, and I doubt like heck that they're an authorized dealer and repair shop, but they've still got that sign out the front, and I'm sure the Mercury Outboard people would love to get that back. Diagnostic tools. One of the dealers here is being begged by the manufacturer to buy a tool for $7,000 right now to fix implements that he sold one of in the last 3 years. And so the bill would create obligations on both parties to sell and buy that back at a depreciation schedule, 75% of the original net cost if it's within 10 years of purchase, but new and unused tools would be purchased at 100% of net cost. If you've got it and haven't used it, they'll give you everything back that you paid for it. We think that's fair, and we believe they think as well. The bill includes oral contracts for dealerships. That's a very common provision in the laws of other states, and oral contracts are something that the courts are familiar with and deal with all the time. The bill changes the date for payment due from 260 days after receipt by the manufacturer rather than 6 months after cancellation that's currently in law. We think that makes a tremendous amount of sense. And finally, the bill requires payment for the reasonable assembly charges. If a piece of equipment comes to a dealer that's in an unusable state that requires assembly and they invest their time and overhead in doing that, the manufacturer agrees to reimburse them for that if he has to buy that back. Like I said, I apologize for the language of the bill and the length of the amendment. We're very pleased to have this agreement between the parties. As some of you that are veterans know, we've been having a difficult time between the two of us over the last few years, and we hope to be able to agree in the future on anything else that might come up. But with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions you'd have.
Thank you, Brett. We'll take other proponents. House Bill 1253.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Gregerson. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association. To just give you a little history, the first franchise protection law for the auto dealers went on in the 1960s, and my first lobbying job was in 1966 to try to get that law through. By the way, I was the youngest lobbyist in the history of the state. I was 10 years old at the time. But anyway, I've been...
We place a great deal of
I've been working
on truth here.
Dave. Yeah, okay. I'm not under oath, am I? So, in any event, what I'm trying to say is that we are very jealous of this franchise protection laws because it's very important for franchisees to have this protection. There was a book written a number of years ago, I remember, called Franchises Trap for the Trusting, and it is. And so it's important and necessary that the legislature regulate to some degree these franchise agreements. Having said that, we have gone over this bill very carefully. We think it's a good amendment to the bill. It'll help South Dakota businesses, and we urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregson. Other proponents? House Bill 1253. Proponents?
Mr. Gertis must not be here. He represents the manufacturers. I'd be glad to go and try to find him.
We'll give him an opportunity after the opponents. Any opponents?
I think I've got Gregerson's notes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen with the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, here in a rather awkward position to mildly, I wish we had commentary kind of positions because that's where I would choose to be. I couldn't, given some of the feedback of some of my members, sit down as a proponent, so I'm here. I even marked mildly under the opponent's list there, and I won't take much time. The best way to describe my position is to quote one of the presidential spokesmen who, when asked where the president was on a certain bill, said, look, the president's got friends who support the bill and friends who oppose the bill, and our position is to stand by our friends. We do have auto dealers and others who, as Mr. Gregerson said, need a certain level of protection in that franchise arrangement where they're leaning so heavily on that franchise agreement for their livelihood that and that relationship is sometimes very conflicting. That I understand. What's bothering me about what we've done for the last 3 years since I've been here is we're branching out beyond those exclusive kind of franchises into dealerships. And I just wanted to remind the committee that South Dakota has a good base of manufacturing jobs. 50,000 manufacturing jobs are some of the best paying jobs in the state, and when I show this to my manufacturers, and as we crawl out of franchise exclusivity law into dealership law, they start becoming very concerned. Because now we're getting into places where folks will choose to carry two or three lines of trailers, or two or three lines of power wash equipment, and you can get a dealership relationship that has failed. We brought the representatives of Trail King in here 2 years ago to share this concern, where they had actually had some dealerships who had taken their trailers and another line of trailers. They could make a higher margin on the other line, and they were suppressing, at least the manufacturer felt, the sale of a line that wasn't quite as good a deal with them, but they didn't want to face the competition. So I do have a concern, although I don't think this bill breaches into that, but I just wanted to be here for some of you who may be here 2 or 3 years from now If this trend continues, your manufacturers in South Dakota will increasingly object because their partnerships are a shared risk partnership as well, and we're starting to set up dealerships as almost an ability to dabble risk-free because they get all their money back, and there's sometimes it's just have to end those relationships. So on behalf of that part of my membership, please be careful. We expect this bill to pass. Just wanted to have a caution. On behalf of our other friends, geez, this is terrific stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Any other mildly opposed people for this bill? Seeing none, at this time we'll take some questions. If Representative Peterson.
I think I would move the amendment for discussion purposes. We should have done that.
Motion to move the amendment, seconded by B.J. Nisselhoff. Any discussion? All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is moved. Any questions at this point? Representative Broderick.
I move a due pass on 1253 amended.
We have not closed public testimony at this point.
I want to hurry this along.
Yes, I thank you for that diligence. Do you wish to hold this any longer?
I don't know. I've been advised by Mr. Gerst's partner that I can tell you that EMI worked with us. That's Equipment Manufacturers Institute.
There he is. But
there he comes.
You're up to me.
15-yard penalty for late.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is what's called winging it. My name is Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer from Pierre, and I'm a lobbyist for EMI, the Equipment Manufacturers Institute. We have reviewed these amendments and worked with Mr. Kenneke on these amendments, and these amendments would, in fact, satisfy EMI's concerns for the bill, and we'd recommend that you adopt the amendments and pass the bill. And if I miss something else, give me a hint. Pardon? All right. Then the bill, as amended, we would recommend passage of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Gerdes. At this point, I will close public testimony for discussion and or action on House Bill 1253.
The chairman, move to pass.
Due pass by Representative Brown.
Second.
Seconded by Peterson. Any discussion on the motion?
Okay.
Representative Siebert.
You know, when we have...
Turn your mic on.
We have manufacturers buying dealers basically inventory back, whether it's an automobile or whether it's farm piece equipment. Every one of these manufacturers have a reserve account to do that, and guess who pays for that? The guy that buys the automobile and the farmer that buys the tractor. So you as a consumer end up paying for that in the roundabout way. Dealers also have a responsibility is to what they purchase. I agree with the bill to the standpoint of what the dealer forces a dealer to buy. But I don't necessarily agree with the bill when the dealer has his own opportunity to purchase things. We would all like to be able to buy things and take them home and use them for a year and then say, hey, Mr. Retailer, we want you to take this back because I'm going to sell my house. You know, and there's some things not fair about this. We're starting to get into lawnmowers, chainsaws, all those type of things we're going to get into. And some of these things have got to come to a stop somewhere. And I'm in the manufacturing business. As a manufacturer, why would I want to give a marginal dealer all the tools he needs to make it, when I know I got to buy it back in 3 years? Why would I want to do that? I think we're handicapping dealers also with some of these laws, but enough said, I guess. But it sounds rosy, but think of the dealer and his responsibilities, not just the manufacturer and his responsibilities. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. We have a due pass motion on House Bill 1253. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Mr.
Rogalka?
Aye.
Redrick?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Grinsky?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Madsen?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Valandra? Siebert?
No.
Knut?
Aye. That motion passes 11 to 1. 11 to 1.